Good morning, sir. May I get your name and your ADC number for the record, sir?
My name is Omar Benjamin Cox, and my ADC number is 127631.
Thank you so very much. Your appearance for the Arizona Board of Executive Policy. There are the two allegations on your warrant. And based upon information that we have, you was notified of this hearing back on November the 30th of this year. Do you know that notification?
No, I do not, sir. My notification was not given to me. As I've been telling Ms. Bodegaard right now, no papers were served to me.
Well, we have something that shows that you signed the paper. Maybe somebody else signed on your behalf, but we show that you signed the paper on 11/30/2018, and this was just telling you that the hearing would be held today. You don't remember nobody asking you or telling you that the hearing would be held today?
I have a paper that's given to me as a notification. That's the only thing.
Well, that's what we're talking about. We're on the same page. That's the one, the notification. Yes,
okay.
That's the one. Okay. Now, on that paper that you have, the notification, you see down there, hearing rights, and number 4 says that you can obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one in the room today. May I assume that you're going to represent yourself?
Yes.
Okay, we're doing this by telephone, therefore you cannot see us today. Therefore, I would like to introduce the board members so that you know who the board members who you will be talking with today. They are the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Mr. Louis Carras, and my name is C.T. Wright. I will be serving as your panel lead. We also have in the room with us today the Honorable Mr. Turner. Mr. Turner will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer for today. So Mr. Cox, Mr. Turner, and I believe we do have your parole officer present, am I correct? Okay, may I get the three of you to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. Do you swear for him, Mr. Cox?
Yes.
I do, and I need to make an amendment.
Okay.
On page 1 of the warrant under exhibits, shows a laboratory report date of 11/13/2018. Should be
11/19/2018. 11/19/2018. That was just an amendment. This was a typo that was made just to change the date on the exhibits. And ma'am, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and the truth, so help you God? Okay, thank you so very much. Okay, we're going to move forward now. I'm going to read the two allegations on your warrant. I'm going to read each one of them separate, and once I read each of them, please tell me whether it's true or false, okay?
Yes.
The first one reads that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7. As demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about November 13, 2018, or the task individual testing compliance summary dated November 12, 2018 through November 16, 2018. Is that true or false?
That is false.
That is false. Okay, we'll come back to that in just a moment. Okay, the next one reads that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 4. Is demonstrated by your failure to successfully complete the 90-day residential community behavior modification program at V-Ray on or about November 13, 2018, as directed. Is that one true or false?
That is false as well.
Okay, if you will hold on that for the moment, we're going to get some testimony coming from the Department of Corrections, and then you can tell us why it's false. With the Honorable Mr. Turner, allegation number 1.
Yes, sir. Allegation number 1. Per the task card and system, the offender was required to submit a urine sample on 11/13/2018. The offender failed to submit a urine specimen as directed per the task individual testing compliance summary dated 11/12/2018 through 11/16/2018. Would you like me to read allegation number 2?
Okay. Yes, go ahead and read that one too, yes.
Allegation number 2. On 11/13/2018, CCO Escarzica received an incident report from V-Ray stating the facility manager, Bakker Gamer, on and on-site security Johnny Walden entered room number four for searches. Gabriel recovered a meth pipe and a bottom of a soda can with white residue inside a blue bag belonging to offender Cox Omar, ADC number 127631. All drugs and paraphernalia were confiscated and pictures were taken by Gabriel. Non-emergency PD was contacted to pick up the items. The offender was discharged from the program for having drugs on site.
Okay, thank you. Okay, allegation number one. Now, what you said that was false, sir?
Because while I was at that program, upon me being screened from my PO, Mrs. Garcia, no directive was given to me to report to anyone else other than that place to submit to UAs. And I did conduct five of them while I was there, and each one of them proved to be clean. So I don't understand why they're saying that I failed to report to submit to a UA.
But did you report on the date given on November the 13th? Did you report on that date?
I reported to my PO.
And what happened? Did you drop a UA on that date?
No, because I went in on the 14th from me going to my mother's because that place told me to get the fuck off their property. That's what that man, Mr. Jaber, told me to do. So I left.
That means that you did not drop then, ma'am. I mean, sir, I'm sorry.
I didn't drop because I didn't know where to go.
I stayed in contact with my POs. I'm going to move on. Okay, now what about allegation number two? What happened there?
They're saying they found stuff in my possession, that I was in class during the time of this alleged search, and I didn't have no knowledge of those items. And when that man talked to me, I told him distinctively that those things weren't mine. And if I had intentions of not complying with the directives as given or complying with my conditions of release, I would have not even, I wouldn't even went to that place, Vivre. But that, sir, proved to be a grave mistake.
So how would you suggest, based on what you know, we were not there, but how did those items get into your, get in your bag now? I mean, sir.
How did they get in there?
They were not yours, you say, but how did they get in there?
Probably because the doors don't lock. People are running in and out of each other's rooms all hours of the night, sneaking prostitutes in. They were getting high and doing things of that nature, but I know I wasn't. I wasn't even really given a bed. I had to sleep on a couch, sir.
Okay, now we're just talking about you. We're not talking about Blu-ray today.
I'm telling you, I understand what you're saying.
Okay. So I'm going to see if other board members might have any questions for you before I move on. Okay, I don't see any. Did you have anything you want to add at this time? This is just as it relates to allegation. Okay. Okay, therefore I'm going to move on so that we can move forward. This is just phase one, just to make a determination about the allegations themselves, and then after we go into phase two, then we'll have an opportunity to talk to you further about each of these, and you can tell us anything else that you need to tell us, and before the board will make a determination whether to revoke your supervision or to continue your supervision. I'm going to move forward as it relates to allegation number one and two, and my motion is going to be based upon information contained in warrant number 2018-W3278, as well as testimony coming from the Department of Corrections that has been provided to the board. And this, my motion is to be to find that Mr. Cox violated the terms and conditions of supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed. Motion by C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis, and the Honorable Mr. Neal. Now, sir, we're going to prepare to go into phase two of your hearing, and we're going to ask that you remain quiet. We're going to get some background information. Once we get this information, then we're going to come back and we're going to talk, and then you can talk with the board, and we'll go from there before the board makes its decision. So this time, Mr. Turner, would you give us some background information, please, sir?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Cox was released from ADC custody on 11/18/2018 and arrested on 11/14/2018 by ADC on its exec violation. No new charges are noted. Returned back to ADC custody on 11/14/2018 with a CSED of 8/24/2019, zero abscond days. Current convictions, 2014, aggravated DUI, 4 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 1994, commitment A, count one, theft, 1 year. 1994, commitment B, count one, burglary second degree, 3 years, 6 months. 1995, theft, 2 years. 1996, theft, 2 years and 3 months. 2002, theft means of transportation, 5 years, 6 months. 2007, forgery, 6 years. 2014, commitment G, count one, dangerous drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. 2014, commitment G, count two, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. This is his fourth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3.3. Mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 3. No STG information is noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2000. TIS release, absconded for 41 days, arrested, revoked by DOEC. 2007, TIS release, absconded for 13 days, arrested, found in violation, reinstated, arrested on new charge, received new sentence. 2013, TIS release, absconded for 23 days, arrested, revoked by DOEC. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy was possession of contraband, disorderly conduct, any sex act, fighting, assault with a weapon, threatening with harm, criminal damage, and smuggling contraband noted. Other arrest, 1979, burglary, Arizona unknown. 1981, damage to property, Arizona unknown. 1981, burglary second degree, Arizona unknown. 1981, burglary second degree, Arizona juvenile probation. 1983, aggravated assault, Arizona juvenile probation. 1987, burglary second degree, Arizona juvenile detention. 1987, unlawful use of means of transportation, Arizona juvenile detention. 1987, marijuana violation, Arizona juvenile detention. He has a GB score of G3, V4.
Okay, thank you so very much, Honorable Mr. Turner, for sharing that information with the board. And looking at the case supervision summary, I do take note that when you were released, you were released to community supervision, from Lewis, with the approval of placement at E-Ray. And I was at 501 West Elm Street in Phoenix, Arizona, and I know other approved residents that's listed. So you have some comments about V-Ray. So why were you at V-Ray? How did you get released to V-Ray, sir?
Because of the fact that Ms. Murray, my PO at the time, would not approve my address. Sir, I maintained my release date of October 27th for the entire time that I was in prison. My disciplinary record during this time was not significant, and I was not receiving major tickets and cutting staff like I used to. And secondly, I didn't get released until the 9th of November because of Ms. Murray not approving my mother's address to go to, stating that my mother's address was unsuitable for me or not conducive. That is highly unfair to me, being SMI, and I need to be around my mom. My mom is elderly. She has heart condition. She has chronic diabetes. She also has either ovarian or breast cancer, which she won't discuss with me, and I respect that. And as far as her having the two strokes she's had recently, that's not fair to me to pull me away from my mother and put me all the way on 27th Avenue in Camelback, which is in a drug haven, so to speak. That place is not ran appropriately. And me being SMI, all it was doing is exasperating my conditions further. I spoke to my doctor, Dr. Robinson, and he told me that was highly unfair to me.
Okay, sir. Now, while you were out, did you have any employment at all? Did you find a job?
No, but I was seeking it.
Okay.
And the thing is, I was supposed to start my my SMI ship with Ms. Sloan, my case manager. Her name's Michelle Sloan for Community Bridges. And I was in contact with her the same day that I was in contact with my PO on the 14th. My PO told me to come into their office so they can switch my address because I called her from my mother's house. I went to my mom's at 5245 West Pecos Road in Chandler, Arizona, which is really the only place that I really know. I don't know Phoenix all too well, but I know when that man told me to get the fuck off his property, excuse my frankness, he told me to find my own way. So I had to take the bus from 27th Avenue and Central and then go on the light rail and then go to my mother's on bus 65 that goes to the casino, which is Lone Butte. My mom lives right behind there.
Okay.
And I could have received services tenfold if I was permitted to.
Yeah.
I need help.
Let me ask this now. When you left VA to go to your mother's house, your mother's residence, why didn't you contact your parole officer to talk with your parole officer so that the parole officer would know where you were?
Because the man at Vivre, that Yeber, he's supposed to be the house manager, he would not allow me to use the phone. He told me...
But you were get a bus and have fare to go all the way out to Chandler, so why didn't you...
I didn't have bus fare, sir.
So how did you get on the bus to go to your mother's house?
Because I told the bus driver that I recently got out of prison, and I explained to him what my circumstances were, and he took that into account and allowed me to ride it free. They have a slot thing that they can push in for free rides.
Okay, so you rode the bus free all the way from Phoenix all the way out to Chandler. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now you indicated that you I stand to be corrected, sir, that you did not know that you were supposed to have dropped the UA on the 13th of November.
No one advised me, but somebody had given you a PIN number.
You didn't call your PIN. They didn't give you that PIN number?
They didn't give me no number or anything to call.
You were assigned a PIN number according to the programming information. You were assigned a PIN number, random texting, and that means that you were responsible for submitting the UA based upon when your number came up, but you had no idea what...
No.
Did that have to do because you were SMI and you don't know what happened?
I don't, sir, and my stuff is still at that place, to my knowledge. He didn't allow me to take anything.
Okay, so...
When I asked him what am I to do with my stuff, he said, figure it out on your own. He was being extremely abrupt with me.
Let me just ask one other question, then I'm going to move on. I'm going to quote this. The offender, that's you, continued to deny his use of methamphetamine even though he tested positive for methamphetamine with V-Ray and failed to submit with the task directives. So did you use the methamphetamine? Did somebody just give some misinformation about your using methamphetamine?
They obviously are giving misinformation. I want to explain something to you, sir. I have not used meth until I got busted 4.5 years ago. And that was a grave mistake on my part for even experimenting with it. I don't like people that do meth, and I made a mistake in using it then. But I have maintained myself for 4.5 years plus. You can even ask the department. The man accused me of being under the influence of drugs because of my medications that I take. I take 4 of them, Trileptal being the strongest, 600 milligrams each, and I take 2 in the morning and 2 at night. He would not even allow me to get my meds out of my stuff. And as far as the search he allegedly conducted, I was in class during that time. I didn't know what was placed where or who had been in my stuff, but I know that my stuff was always moved around when I would go back into that room. And I would clean it and straighten up. And
what kind of classes were you in?
In the substance use classes that they required for us to attend.
Did you have any classes or anything dealing with your SMI situation? Did you have anything at all?
That's the thing. Ms. Sloan was supposed to be my case manager. Michelle Sloan is her name.
Were you on your medication when you were at VA?
Yes, I was taking my meds as I was supposed to.
Are you on your medication now?
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Okay, so you're
And I was doing fine then as well, but that man stated that I violated my conditions and he don't want me there. And I said, what do you mean? I said, you told me go to my classes. I have been attending my classes like he told me to. They would come around and wake us up and tell us after breakfast we would have to go to those classes. And the lady from that Building Blocks Counseling Incorporated had come to conduct the class. And I was in there when he came and got me. Which she has my paper because they have to sign the paper to verify that we attended or confirm it.
Okay. I'm going to say at this time, see if any board members might have any questions for you at this time. I don't see any questions from board members coming at this time. I'm going to see if your parole officer wishes to make a statement or not at this time. Do you want to make a statement, ma'am?
The only thing I'd like to say...
Please come forward, but I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Please come forward, and if you would...
Is that Mr. Skarsgård?
If you would be kind enough just to state your name for the record.
My name is Cheryl Ginner.
Thank
you. Senior parole officer.
And what would you like to tell the board, ma'am?
That upon his initial intake with our SMI office, he was assigned a PIN number to go to task and drop. He also signed his conditions and a few other pieces of paper, and every paper that he signed, he received a copy of, so he didn't know of his PIN number.
Okay. So you did give him papers, and and it's your recollection that he did sign the conditions.
I wasn't in the unit when he signed.
Based on your ability, he did sign them, and I'm going to, and of course I am not, and let the record show, I am not a handwriting expert, but based on what I have observed here, it seems to me that this is the same signature that he has on his notification. I don't know whether other board members would agree with that or not, but I'm looking at his conditions of supervision and release that he did sign, and it's the same signature. I don't think you have to be an expert to see that that is the same signature that he did sign his conditions. He signed his conditions, yes, he signed the conditions, and I'm repeating it because I'm just looking at it. At least three with the notification, the conditions were signed. Is there anything else that you wish to share with the board at this time?
Yes, sir. When we were staffing him in the office prior to his arrest, he kept telling us that we had to work with him because he was SMI. I will be the first person to work with an inmate as long as they are willing to take the help they are offered. He was not willing to take it. He became very belligerent with us and ended up calling me, and I apologize for the language, he ended up calling me a fucking anatomically correct fucking bitch in the office. So, that was, and I'll take anything from an inmate. I've done it for 13 years. But that was just the end. He wasn't going to take the help we wanted to offer him. So.
Well, members, do you have any questions? Okay, well, thank you so very much for coming today.
Yes, sir.
I believe that, Mr. Turner, would you share something with her? Did I see your hands?
You did, but she covered the behavior that I was going to...
Okay, thank you so very much. Let me just ask this. I don't have anything, and no one else signed in, but is there anyone else present who wishes to speak on behalf of Mr. Cox? Anyone else, any victims present to speak on his behalf? And now, Mr. Turner, sir, what, you want to share something else, sir?
Yes, sir. In the RMS notes in the initial intake, Ms. Murray, during the intake, actually documented that she referred the offender to task and assigned him the PIN number 7631.
7631.
Correct. So he was given that documentation and directed on how to drop, how not to drop a diluted, and then he would have signed that documentation, would be in his file.
Okay. Thank you so very much. Okay. Board members, any further questions at this time? Discussion, hearing none from board members. Mr. Cox, we're coming towards the end of your hearing, but this is your hearing. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes its decision today. So at this time, without repeating yourself, anything else you want to share with the board is prepared to listen. Mr. Cox.
I would appreciate being given the true chance to prove these people wrong. And as far as me losing my temperament and cussing Ms. Ginter, I want to express that I wholeheartedly apologize, because I've learned not to be getting like that with people, but when they made it seem as though I'm not willing to accept the help that they're willing to give me, that's not entirely true. I've spoken to Ms. Barasa, who is one of the PO people that work here in Mr. Washington. Both of them in unison have told me to apologize to Ms. Ginter and not to ever backtalk her again, and to allow them to help me since I am SMI. And I'm not saying that to utilize as a crutch that I should be felt sorry for. I don't want anyone's sympathy or empathy. I want to be helped. And Ms. Sloan, or Sloan, Michelle Sloan, that was supposed to meet with me, I never got to meet with her. I just spoke to her on the phone, and she had sent a Uber cab to get me, and I never got to get on it because I couldn't wait around on that property. And they said I can't be around anywhere around their vicinity of their property. But if I'm able to be sent to a different halfway house or different recovery housing place through that Arizona Recovery Housing Association, I'd be willing to attend it. Or if amends can be made to that Vivre, I see that I must contend to what they state for me to do, and I would be willing to do all of those things.
Okay, well, thank you so very much, Mr. Cox, for sharing that information with the board. Now the board is going into discussion, so we're going to ask that you remain quiet while the board is in discussion. It may sound as if we're talking to you, but the board members, the four board members who are present today, will be talking to each other. And following our discussion, we will make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue you on supervision. So, sir, please remain quiet, but please listen, because we're part of the open meeting law in the state of Arizona, and you can hear everything that we say. We don't do anything secretly. We do everything in public. Therefore, this will be the first time that we, the four of us, will have that opportunity to discuss your case at this hearing.
And, sir, I want to mention one more thing, please.
Okay, just that one thing, because the board is going into discussion. Please go ahead, sir.
Since I have until the 24th or 30th of my community supervision, the remainder, it would be beneficial to allow me to be given this opportunity instead of just remotely sending me back to prison and make me stay, because there's absolutely nothing I can gain from this, so it'd be purposeless.
Okay, thank you so very much. Now the board is in discussion, so please be quiet, and everybody else please be quiet. This is a very unfortunate situation as it relates to Ms. Cox. I think that Mr. Cox, he has the... He somehow, and I'm not sure how, I'm usually sympathetic myself towards someone who's SMI, but I'm not sympathetic when there is misinformation provided. He indicated that, maybe I misheard him, that he had not signed his conditions, supervision, and we do have his signature. As I said, that is quite evident that it is his signature. He can deny and that he did not have, he did not use methamphetamine, but according to information found in supporting documents in the warrant, he can say that others placed things in his bag while he was in class, but there's just so much that's missing here. And he admits that he did, I guess because he was SMI or whatever the reasons, he did speak out of line to his parole officer, which also cannot be tolerated. Just as one board member and not on behalf of the board. I'm just not in favor at this point, but I'm prepared to listen to the board. So hearing nothing from the board, I'm going to offer a motion, and my motion is going to be based, again, based upon information contained in warrant number 2018-W3278, where there's testimony coming from his parole officer, testimony coming from the Department of Corrections, as well as his own testimony, as well as information contained in the warrant, so, including the case supervision statement, as well as conditions of supervision and release, and that's going to be my reason for my motion, and that is to revoke community supervision based upon the same.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis and the Honorable Mr. Neal. So your community supervision has been revoked. It's not a decision. It's not that I know that you want it. It is not one that I would want, but we have to be fair and to everybody who come before this board. However, you're scheduled to be released on August 24, 2019. This will end your hearing. Thank you so much for your participation. Thank you so much, parole officer, for your participation, and your hearing is over. Thank you, and please have a great day, and please put the CO3 back on the phone, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Good luck.
Okay.